We pray that you'll just minister to them in a mighty way. He shoulders the load around here a lot. Lord, we thank you that you've blessed him for a little time off, family time. Lord, let the conference be very good for him as they go. Let him bring forth revelation from you, him, to us. So Lord, we just bless Pastor Dave today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as I said, I'm glad I came. And I wanted to just begin by blessing him. I want to talk just a little bit about the announcements. We have three or four things we need to talk about. One is the Silver Saint Luncheon. I hope you have an invitation. Looks like this, if you're 65 and over, to come. It's going to be here at the church. Rachel Mobley is heading it up, and you need to bring a covered dish. Bring a covered dish. I'm going to give you our invitation. And so it's on October 27th. That's the last Thursday of October, I believe that's right. Okay? We also, on October 30, we're going to have Senior Sunday, Old People Appreciation Day. And so, because I qualify for one of those, I'm going to enjoy it. And we're going to have hymns and I don't know what else. And we're going to have a covered dish luncheon after church is over. October 31st is going to be family night in the AOC. We're going to have games and all kind of stuff go on. We're going to have some kind of meal. And we're going to have some good family time, similar to what we did with the night that we had earlier. I forgot what that was. Oh, that was a kickoff. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to do that. And then on November 5th is our second yard sale. Rent a table, $30. You get three tables, so you get a little booth, I think. And then bring some stuff to sell. You keep the money. We get the $30. The church does, and other people will be coming. So that is all the announcements that I had on here. If we could call the children down for children's church, whoever they are, come down and let's bless them and send them off. All right. Two today. Mark. All right. So let's pray. Lord, we bless them in Jesus' name. This is a great day for them. They're going to go back and learn about you and learn about your heart, learn about your faith, learn about being in your presence, just the things that you do for them. Pray for the leadership that's back there with them. Pray blessings on them. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. All right. Good. Next. Okay. The name of the sermon this morning, just what we've been talking about, it's called Trust God. Trust God. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We live in uncertain times. Would you agree with that? We have an election coming up. Lord help us. We have two people with different views, different goals, and different agendas that they want to do. We have a clear choice. They're opposite. So you're going to have to make up your mind in about 3 weeks. And So we have an election coming up. We also have elected officials making non-common sense decisions. Would you agree with that? Non-common sense decisions. We're in a place where society seems out of whack. Good is bad and bad is good. And that's not what God wants. God is changing this church. He has spoken through us, through His prophetic word. So God's doing a work here in this church, and we need to be seeing it. You know, God is meeting needs here. And we had a salvation last week. I mean, God is still on the throne. You know, as a matter of fact, He is unchangeable. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our job is to put our faith in God, trust Him, rest in Him, and obey Him. Trust means faith. Have faith. Right? And Romans 10:17. That's not it. Romans 10:17. You got some. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Okay, so trusting God is having faith in God. All right, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Our job is to hear God and do what He says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, so our job is to hear God, and some people say they don't hear God. Some people say, well, he's not talking to me. But let's look at the next verse. The next one. All right, we're going to get it. We're going to get it together in just a minute. God talks to us. The Bible says that we are the sheep of His pasture. And He talks to us. There it is. Nope, that's not it. That's good. It's all good. John 8:3-4. John 8, there you go. Nope. All right, that's the wrong verse. It's what we said. That's not the right one. Well, basically, here's what I want you to do. All right, try John 8:27. Out of whack, too. All right, let me tell you what it says. It says we're the sheep of His pasture. And He talks to us, and He knows our name, and He calls us, and we follow. And we hear His voice. And He knows our voice and our name, and we know His voice, and He talks to us. And so, God speaks to us. And He's speaking a lot. I don't think we hear Him a lot. But He speaks to us. He speaks to us through His Word. But you have to read it. But you have to read it. Do I need to say that again? But you have to read it to get it. Okay? He speaks through our thoughts, dreams, visions, angels, through tongues and interpretation, through prophecy, through pastors and teachers, through your spouse. We just have to get still and listen. Okay, if we're going to hear God and get direction and know what we need to do, we need to be still and get in God's presence and let Him talk to us. God talks to us. Trusting God begins with the Holy Spirit drawing us to Jesus. It's not even of us. We're out there lost as a goose, doing our thing, thinking we're doing good, and living our life. And he begins to draw us. And we begin to hear the still small voice that things in our life are not right, not what God wants for us, and our sin is separating us from God. We can't hear God because we have sin. And God wants us to give us what God wants to give us, a new birth with a new birthday. So we have to trust God, hear and obey for our salvation. Romans 10, 8 through 10. Romans 10, 8 through 10. All right. But what does it say? The word of is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Next. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Next one. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay? So as part of trusting God for our salvation, we've got to believe in our heart. Now notice that your head is not even mentioned in that verse. You got to believe it, not in your head. Yeah, I know that story about Jesus and the cross and all that. I know that. This is believing in your heart that Jesus came to take away your sin and set you free. And so, and then once you have done that, now you need to tell somebody and confess it. Salvation is an action word. Okay? And so, we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we'll be saved. Okay, I like it. I did this when I was 7 years old. Preacher preached. I knew I needed to go down front. I was seven, so I was in a little choir. So I was too scared to go down there by myself, so I went back about two rows and got my mama. And I got her by the hand, and we went forward. And I gave my heart to Jesus, and he saved me, and he forgave me, and he gave me eternal life. I did what he said. I heard it, and I obeyed. And that was almost this month, 60 years ago. That's pretty neat. Okay? Now, you see, God did all that. He worked on me. And John, 1 John 5:13. 1 John 5:13 says, these things are written. 1 John. That's John. It says, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. Did I say hope? Did I say wish? Did I say maybe? It says these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay, so you know what? I did that. 6 years ago, I did that, and I know it. So I'm not wishing. If somebody asks me if I'm saved, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven because I did what it said. I've trusted God that if I believed, he would save me. And I did, and he did. There it is right there. You may know that you have eternal life. You may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So I trusted God for salvation, and that's the first step in trusting God that we have to do. Now, you know, God had more for me than just eternal life, so that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. He has more for us than that. So, Isaiah 26:3. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You want to have peace? You know, the world's hunting peace. They do all kind of things to get peace. They do drugs. They do alcohol. They do pills. They chase women to find peace. And so God says that if you want to have peace, trust in God and fix your mind on Him. So therefore, when I wake up, I want to have some time with God. Every day. Every day, I want to have some time with God. Since I'm retired, I can do that much easier than when I had to get up and go to work. See? Much easier to do that now. I can have perfect peace when my mind is stayed on Him. Perfect peace is shalom. And watch this. Health, happiness, wholeness, well-being. Shalom in Hebrew really means this. Nothing missing, nothing broken. I got everything I need and it's not broken. My mama said to me the other day, she's riding in our car, my air conditioner fan makes the noise. She said, there's something wrong with everything you got. So my car doesn't have perfect peace. But I can have perfect peace. Because I wasn't worried about it. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Do you have something broken or something missing? All of us probably have some areas where that are better than others. See? God wants to restore all good things to you, but you have to trust Him. And that's what we're talking about. Trust Him. So once I've trusted God for my salvation, I need to trust in His goodness. God says He is good. He is love. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Okay? A lot of people don't believe that. I didn't believe that for a long time. I thought He was angry with me because I was bad. I couldn't measure up. But no, He's pleased with me. I'm His child. Psalms 31:19. Oh, how great is your goodness. How much? Great. That's big, isn't it? Which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. So if I trust in God, I can trust in His goodness because He's got a lot of it. God wants to do good. I'm His child. He wants to bless me. You want your children to be good? You want to bless them? That's one of the joys of being grandparents, isn't it? My wife thinks that they need a birthday present every time they have a birthday. That's a good thing. So we get to send them, thank God for Amazon. She's a master of Amazon. We can get them presents from Grandma. See, what a joy. What a joy. God is good. Romans 8:28. And we know, whoa, what did it say? And we know. Have you got it? That we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, and that's us. So God is working all things for our good. But we know that. So because if you know that, then you're not upset when something bad happens. Car breaks down. You know, if your car never broke down, mechanics would starve to death. You know that? All right. And if you're a mechanic, you would have zero income because nothing ever broke down. That wouldn't be good, would it? Okay, so when your car breaks down, rather than, and what you need to do is, this is an opportunity to bless the mechanic. See? You never got sick, poor old doctors would be poor. Wouldn't that be bad? Daughter's kids have to have shoes too, don't they? So it's an opportunity to bless the doctor in the hospital. We blessed them a bunch for some lab work. But you know, because it wasn't my money, I didn't get upset about it. Not much God's money. God sent it to the hospital. He thought they needed it better than me. Okay? And so the key is, if we know that God is working all things together for our good, then we don't need to ever be upset. Hello? Is that right? I can stay in the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy all day. So can you. We will just realize that God, that if we'll know in our heart that God's working all things for good, then we don't have to get upset. He's taking care of me. I'm his child. In fact, I'm probably his favorite. Okay? Okay. Well, we're not going to argue. Okay. Right now, I have the microphone. Okay. Do I believe this verse? Do I believe it? Do I trust God and rest? Or do I fret and worry and get frustrated and angry and afraid? Got a choice. Do you trust God or not? God said, I'm taking care of you. I've got all things. Are you going to trust me or not? Are you going to fret and worry and get angry? Kick the car because it broke? Y'all heard of Mark Rutland? Mark Rutland was a Methodist preacher. This is before he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he said in his testimony that he had a flat tire. He went shopping in the mall. They come out from the mall and his tire was flat on his car. And he got so mad, he took his tire iron and just beat the tar out of his car. Got so angry. He was a preacher. Okay? But he got angry at the car. Messed his whole day up. So he messed his car up, and that messed his next day up. Okay? All right. So in other words, you can fret and worry and get upset, or you can trust God and say, hey, he's got it. All of us have areas that we have a lot of trust, and we probably have areas that we don't have as much. And that's the part that God wants to work on. God wants to work on your trust. He wants us to trust him all the time. All the time. We can be relaxed, peaceful, full of joy all the time. Because we trust in God. Let me tell you about trust. 1 Kings 8:56. 1 Kings 8:56. This is Solomon speaking at the dedication of the temple. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he has promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. There has not failed one word that God said he would do that he hadn't done. That's pretty neat, isn't it? There's not failed one word. God doesn't fail. He doesn't mess up. He doesn't mess up. Not one word. All right, look at 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 20 through 22. 2 Corinthians 1, 20. For all the promises of God in him, Jesus, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. All the promises through. Okay, next verse. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. Next. Who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our heart as a guarantee. How about that? So in other words, if you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, there's a guarantee. There's a guarantee. Guarantee you can trust God. You can count on God. God's living inside you, and you don't have to worry. You don't have to be upset. I'm telling you, when we leave here today, there's going to be the most peaceful group of people. They're not going to be worried about anything. If they walk out there and the tire's flat, they're going to say, praise God, tire. I get to pay the man to fix. Tire people need money. Vince said he'd take care of it. And his tire flat. Okay? We're going to be peaceful. Okay? Romans 4, 18 through 22. Okay, we're talking about Abraham. Abraham's a father of faith, the father of the Jews. Abraham, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken to him by God, so shall your descendants be. All right, next. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. God said, you're going to have a child. And he said, I am 99. And she is 80. Okay, next. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. God said, you're going to have a son? He said, okay. Come on, Sarah, let's go do our part. Okay? He did not waver in his heart at the promise of God. You know, the same thing happened to Paul. God said, you got to go to Rome. Well, they had a shipwreck, and he's floating in the water. But he's not worried because God said he's going to go to Rome, and so God's got to do something to get him out of there. And he did. See, God told him. So when God tells you you're going to go to Rome and you're not in Rome, then you're not going to die till you get there. See? You can rest in that. He was fully persuaded. He did not waver at the promise. Genesis 22:5. I'm giving you examples of Abraham. Genesis 22:5. God said to Abraham, I want you to go up there and sacrifice your only son, Isaac. So he's got the knife, he's got the wood. Isaac is the sacrifice. Isaac is carrying his own wood that is going to be used to burn him up with. A picture of Jesus carrying his own cross. Okay? But you see, God said, your descendants are going to be through Isaac. He's the son of promise. So look what happened. Abraham said to his young men, the men that went along with him, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder up on the mountain, and we will come back to you. Now how is we going to come back if one of us is dead? Because Abraham did not waver at the promises of God. See that? All right, now the next verse is Hebrews 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So remember the story. Isaac is laying there and he raises up the knife, cut his throat. Okay, next. Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. See, Isaac can't die because he's the one that's going to carry the lineage down. Next. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. In other words, if I sacrifice Isaac, God can raise him up because he's got to, because Isaac is the son of promise. See that? He didn't waver, not one bit, held the knife up. He said, we're going to come back down because God's going to raise him up. If I sacrifice, God's going to raise him up because he has to, because his word said, and Isaac is the promise. See that? So he didn't waver. How many of us could be like that? That's what God wants. He wants us to be fully persuaded that we don't waver at what the promise of God is. See? We'll be back. He believed and trusted. God says he will provide for you. Psalms 37, 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Okay? What have you got to do? Trust. Do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Next, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. God's going to take care of you. Our job is to trust, do good, to commit our way to God, and he's going to take care of everything. See, now, if we really believe that, we wouldn't worry about our checkbook. In fact, I quit keeping up my balance and my check. I said, God's taking care of it. And I look on my phone. But I don't have a balance in here. And I don't balance it to the penny because I just make sure all the checks. All right, but the point is that I quit worrying. Because God said he's taking care of me and he's going to do it. And I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to look at my checkbook and say, ooh, this is bad. God, you got to do something quick. Because he already knows all that. And it's not even his money anyway. I mean, my money anyway. It's his. Okay. So, he says he'll provide for me. I've just got to trust him. Long time back, we had 3 kids. He was pregnant with the fourth one. That was Josh. We already had 2 boys and a girl. My mama said, that's a plenty. That's enough. And you know, we read in Psalms 127 and 128, happy is a man that has a quiver full of them. So you know what we didn't do? We didn't say, people ask us this all the time, how are you going to feed them? How are you going to take care of them? How are you going to educate them? How are you going to pay all the bills? All 8 of them had braces. Okay? But you know what? That's God's job. My job is just to be obedient, be fruitful and multiple. And you know what? They all got out somehow. They all educated to some degree. And they all are prospering now. And a lot of them have their own businesses. But see, God said, I'll take care of feeding them. We always, as far as I know, we always had something to eat in our house. When we had all those children one time, we had 17, our grocery bill was $1,000 a month. And that's not the meat, that's just the other stuff. Okay? We buy 2 giant boxes of Tide. I'm talking about the big Okay? And so, you know, God provided. See? Now, let me tell you something that's a real truth. God is our source of provision. So we look to God to provide for our income. Okay? Now, God can use different channels or vehicles or ways of getting you money. Okay? Now, let me get this right, so I want to tell my story in the right way. All right. 1 Kings 17, 1 through 9. This is Elijah. Okay? Elijah the Tishbite. I want you to see this. This is amazing. Elijah the Tishbite, the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord lives, Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." In other words, I'm cutting off the rain, Ahab. Okay, next. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, next. "Get away from here, Elijah, and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith." Cherith means grace, by the way. "Which flows into the Jordan." I want you to go hide over there. All right, next. "And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So God said to Elijah, "I've got you water to drink, I've got you a safe place, and I'm going to have ravens come feed you." You ever ate raven before? No, he wasn't going to eat the ravens, they were going to bring him the food. Next. "So he went and did according to the word of the Lord." So he heard the word and he obeyed. That's what we're supposed to do, right? "And he stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan." And next. "The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook." All right, now think about this. He has no job. He's just out there in the wilderness. He's hiding by the stream. He can drink from the water. And every day, ravens come and bring him some bread. And not only that, meat. Maybe he got a salad and baked potato. I don't know. But he got bread and meat. God is taking complete care of him every day. He sat there, he got bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, drank by the book. Life is good. I think I'll stay here forever. All right, what's next? "And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." God has a change of season for Elijah. All right, next. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying," next, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So God is the source. The ravens were the vehicle, the channel that God used to feed him. That changed. Now then, I've got a widow there, and she's going to feed me. Same God as the source, but the vehicle is different. All right, now, I'm going to tell you a real life story. I worked at Riverside for 36 and a half years, and Riverside was the vehicle with which God gave me a paycheck. Gave me a paycheck every month, once a month. Okay, so now I told everybody that God is my source, but I got my money from Riverside. Okay, well, in October of 2013, day after my birthday, they said, "You know, Mike, we don't need you around here anymore. We're going to close the plant, and you're the manager of the plant, so we don't really need you anymore." And so You're done. See ya. No more paycheck. I said, okay. God is my source. That vehicle has broke down, and he's not using that one anymore, but he's going to take care of me. So, God spoke to me, and he said, take money out of my 401k and pay off house loans, rental house loans, equal to the amount of your salary. So I did. I withdrew money out of my account, and I paid off. So this is my salary, and I paid off this much houses. So now I didn't have my salary coming in, but I didn't have those payments going out. So I'm the same. See? All right. Then he said, get on Social Security. So I did. So now I've got more money not working than I did when I was working. God just changed the source of my income. So now I have less debt and I have more income. That's a good plan, isn't it? Okay? I wish I'd have thought of that. But God did that for me. Because he loved me and he's taking care of me and I don't have to worry about these things. And we didn't worry a bit. I got unemployment for a little while, which wasn't near enough, but it was some. I got that for a little while, and then that was it. And so that season of me working in a job closed is done. And so that time is over. I'm not out by the brook anymore. I'm in a different spot. See what I'm saying? See how God just, he loves us. He takes care of us. He provides for us. God is good. I can trust him. If you're going to trust God, you're going to have to take your eyes off the natural and the physical and see through the eyes of faith. Okay? So, got another amazing place. 2 Kings 6, 14 through 17. Now, this is Elisha, and he has a servant. And the king has come, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the little city where they were. So all of a sudden, overnight, there's thousands of enemy surrounding the city. Okay, next. And the servant of the God, the man of God, arose early and went out. There was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots, and a servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? You ever said that? What shall we do? Okay, next. So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. This is Elijah talking. All right, next. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So God had a huge army of angels, horses, chariots of fire around him. So they didn't have to worry at all. God's got this. God could have just had one angel. He wouldn't have to have a whole army. He could have just had one little angel there. And that would have took care of it. All right, but that man was worried because he couldn't see what God was going to do. And actually, God destroyed all of them later. Okay? But you see, he took his eyes off the natural and put them into the supernatural. Okay? Now, God has said he's going to fill this place up. It didn't happen this morning. But it's happened. See, God's meeting needs here. God's still got his eye and his hand on us. All right? So God opened his eyes and let him see in the Spirit. Okay? 1 Kings 18, 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink. They hadn't had a drought now. They hadn't had any rain. Elijah said, go up and eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. Okay? All right, next verse. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Ahab the king. And Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed down onto the ground and put his face between his knees. Y'all pray that way? With your face between your knees? All right, keep going. And said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. So he went up and looked, and he said, there is nothing. So Elijah keeps praying. Sends him back again. Comes back. Nothing. Goes back again. 6 times he goes back. Comes back, said there's nothing. All right? The 7th time, Elijah said, go again. All right? Next verse. It came to pass the 7th time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand. That's this big. Maybe this big. Okay? Rising up out of the sea. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare the chariot and go down before the rain stops you. It's fixing to rain. And it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind. There was a heavy rain. Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. All right, now here's the key. Elijah's praying for rain. He's asking to see if it's raining yet, see if the clouds are coming. What is he looking at? Where is his eye? Between his knees. He had his eyes between his knees because he didn't want to see in the natural, because that would discourage him. That would just work on his faith. And so he didn't want to see with his physical eyes. He just wanted to see in the spiritual. God is preparing rain. So he didn't look around and say, wow, there ain't many people here. He looked to the spirit and he said, God's going to fill this place up. See what I'm saying? And so if you're going to trust God, we got to get our head between our knees, I guess. We can't look at the natural. We got to look at the supernatural with our spiritual eyes. Okay? So, if we could call for the altar ministers, and Nikki, if you could come and begin to play, I want to talk a little bit more while they're standing here. You got to trust God when you're afraid. Y'all been afraid? You got to trust God when you're afraid. You got to trust God when you're lonely. Trust God for your provision. Trust God when you're worried. Trust God when you're angry. You got to trust God when you have messed up. You're not defined by what you have done in a weak moment. All of us have done stupid things. Just because you've been in jail, been divorced, had an abortion, made your girlfriend have one, because you've done bad, dumb things, that does not define who you are. You are a child of the King. God says, I've forgiven you. I've taken care of all that. He sent Jesus to take away your sins. He took Jesus, he sent the Spirit to live in you, and he sent everything we need to accomplish what God wants us to do. Now, Psalms 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquities. How many? All. Your sins are gone. How about that? If you feel guilty, it's not the right feeling you need to have. Who heals all your diseases? People believe the first part, they don't believe the second part. Okay, verse 4. Who redeems your life from destruction. Maybe you were on a path to destruction, and He redeemed you. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. That's good, isn't it? All right, next. Satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. I'm old enough to be in the senior saint, silver saint, but I'm young. God's got a lot more for me to do, so I'm going to live till we get that done. Okay? The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. God loves us. He does good things. He has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor punished us according to our iniquity. We did the sin. They went on Jesus. He took care of it. We can rest and relax. For as high as the heavens are, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. He took them all away. And last of all, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to His children's children. This is the kind of God that we serve. He loves us. He's full of mercy. He's full of goodness. He's done everything for us. He wants us to trust Him. Would y'all stand? Trust Him, believe Him, obey Him, come to Him. I trust You, God, for my circumstance, my fears, my worries, my finances. Come and let these people pray for you in the area that you don't have enough trust. If there's somebody here who's never trusted God for their salvation, come to me right now, and I will show you what it's like to be saved. Anybody who's never trusted God to be saved, if you're not sure, if you died today and you're not sure you would go to heaven, come to me. Because I'll show you 1 John 5:13 says we know. We believe what God is doing and going to do at New Covenant. No fear, no worries, only God's goodness. Come to Him now. I trust God. All of us need to be trusting God. Believing what in Him, believing in His promises. Believing in His Word, and believing in His goodness, and His provision. He's taking care of everything in our lives. No need to fear. So when you go out of here today, you go out of here with no worries. You may have circumstance, but no worries. No fear. Let's pray. God, we love You. You love us. Your Spirit has been here. Your presence has been here today. Lord, we rejoice in Your goodness and mercy to us. We rejoice because You've handled everything in all of our lives. Lord, You know our circumstances, and we know that You're working all things for good. Everything that happens bad, You're working together for our good. Lord, we just bless you and love you today. Lord, let us respond to your goodness. In Jesus' name, we are dismissed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.